Ryan, thanks so much. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder, along with Patrick McDonald, film critic for HollywoodChicago.com, chief guide for Chicago Film Tour. You want to go to ChicagoFilmTour.com for all your information. And those tours are up and running as we speak, are they not?
No, not yet. We're delaying the start of our season just because of volume, basically.
Yeah.
And
how do they do it?
It's volume, Wendy. That's how they save us money.
So private tour is still available, ChicagoFilmTour.com.
Excellent, excellent. All right. You are just returning from one of the biggest film festivals that this country has, and that's the Tribeca Film Festival in New York.
And this was the first time I did an outside festival outside of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And go big or stay home, I guess. And I was very nervous going in, very nervous.
Why would you be nervous?
You know, it's the Big Apple, man. I'm the coming in from the second city to the Big Apple.
But they don't know that.
No,
you
I know.
You look like you
I
could
know.
Be from New York.
Everybody was saying, just be yourself. And it was like Oz and Disney rolled up in one. It was just fantastic.
For people who have never attended one of these bigger film festivals, it's movies all day and all night.
It is. It is a overstuffed version of everything you want to know and be in regard to film. I mean, it's just the red carpets are like Mad Magazine. There's a celebrity, 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 celebrity.
Mm-hmm. That's why you were nervous.
Well,
because it's a big thing.
It is. It's huge. And that's, and you don't know the lay of the land. You're going in, you don't know that neighborhood. I mean, that's why I was nervous. Yeah. And, one of the great things about it is we had our own publicist who called me before I came.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got there, that's done. I didn't know it. I'm like,
why would that be?
Well, because they have to go off and do,
They have a billion other things to do. They just set you up and then you're on your own, buddy.
Yeah, take
with
take
your
care,
Yankees
bud.
Hat. Jeez.
Can anyone attend these or is it only for people?
Well,
anybody
can pay to attend. Yes.
Yeah.
But,
they got you in the side door.
I got very lucky. I not having done an outside festival but basically when my application said yes, I was going to find a way to get there. Everything came together so beautifully that I can't express how magical it was.
And Patrick, fill me in on this, but I've always been under the belief that because these films are kind of uncharted waters for many people, this is the first time people are getting to see them,
mm-hmm.
the movie company is going to go out of their way to make you happy and make you like them so that there's good word of mouth. They bring the stars out. They do Q&As after most of the films.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't attend a lot of the evening stuff where they're doing Q&As because I was doing the carpets at that time. But yes, mm-hmm. they're going to trot out everything.
When you say doing the
possibly.
Carpets, you brought a steam cleaner with you.
That's right. I have a service in every city, and steam cleaning happens to be New York. So that evolved from something else, but we'll talk about that later.
Give us some of the big names. Who were the big name stars and directors that you saw there at Tribeca?
Okay, so the first night was Ron Howard and his new show about Albert Einstein called Genius, which is fantastic, by the way.
Is it really?
Jeffrey Rush playing Einstein, and Rush was on the carpet, and he was together with the young Einstein. They had a young Einstein.
I've mm-hmm. been called that.
That's right.
Exactly. I forgot.
And
that's in your yearbook, isn't it?
This All is right. before or after he opened the bagel shops. When do they focus on this? Now, is this a movie or is this a made-for-TV?
It's Nat Geo. It's a miniseries.
It is a miniseries.
Because
getting Jeffrey Rush and getting Ron Howard, those are big names
big
to be
names.
Involved.
Interesting as a Chicago connection, Gigi Pritzker and Oddlot Entertainment bought the rights to Walter Isaacson's book called mm-hmm. Genius and the story of Albert Einstein. And Howard was like, yeah, I want to do that.
Good.
So Imagine got involved and the rest is history. But so I did the old red carpet pro that I am,
mm-hmm.
even though they do it on a smaller basis here in Chicago. I noticed that they were motioning him to get going. So what I did is I darted right next to the shoulder to the person who was interviewing him last and got my question in.
Oh, excellent.
Yes.
What was your question
My
for Ron
question
Howard?
Was on his first film and his first shot
would,
as a director.
Would that be Funny Car Summer?
No, that would be Grand Theft Auto.
Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, Bill was wrong?
Sorry about
He's wrong!
Sorry about that.
Mark this date down, Kevin.
History.
It's never happened before.
History.
Grand Theft Auto.
History.
I love that video game.
Grand Theft Auto. And he maybe it isn't Grand Theft Auto. Maybe we're missing the video game. So maybe we're both
Funny Car
wrong.
Summer.
No, it's not
no,
Funny
it's
Car
not.
Summer.
All right.
77, Wendy.
And who are we talking about?
Ron Howard,
his first directorial effort. So anyway, he was acting in it, too. That was part of the thing, because he was doing it for Roger Corman.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I was in the first scene. So he said, I called action, I walked in, and it was lousy. And then we had to do it again. Oh. So that he did not print his first take.
Oh, how about that?
That was my question. And it was a beautiful little reminiscence, too.
You know, the story that he always tells, and Andy Griffith also would tell, was that even when he was a little boy, when he was playing Opie on the Andy Griffith show, he was fascinated with the process of filming it all. And he would always talk to the cameramen and say, how are you going to make this happen? And what are you going to do with this? So even as a little boy, he had it in his mind, I'm going to be a director someday.
So the big carpet I wanted to go to as a boy of the 70s was the one for Burt Reynolds' latest film, which is called Dog Years.
Mm-hmm.
And I interviewed Burt about 4 or 5 years ago. He was getting a little frail then.
Yeah.
Now he's very frail.
Yeah.
But he told me in my interview that he feels every film on his body. My knee from Deliverance.
Corvette Summer.
My shoulder.
Night Shift, it says.
No, it's not Night Shift.
Wow.
No,
go further right, in the directorial. So he did Eat My Dust as a actor, and then they gave him the chance to direct.
Yeah.
It's not, we just mixed it up with this.
We'll figure it out. Wendy's on
anyway,
it. She'll get it.
Yes, she is.
All right. So, you wanted to.
I wanted to see this legendary carpet, and I signed up too late, but I just went to the place. I just, there was just, you know.
I'm Patrick
no
McDonald.
That's
They're not going to say no to me.
Right.
All right. Good.
So it was a melee. Why? Because Bobby D came into the room. The co-founder of the festival, Mr. Robert De Niro, took his pictures, get this, with Burt Reynolds and Chevy Chase.
Oh, how about that?
Oh, man.
Is
Chevy Chase also in the movie?
Yes, he does like a little bit in it, you know, like his best friend or agent or something.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure it out. And it's a typical Chevy appearance as a cameo. He's just kind of mugging.
Yeah.
But but the film has its flaws, but it's very emotional. And they do a unique thing where they use green screen to put old Bert with young Bert. So he rides along with the bandit, and he talks to the guy from Deliverance, you know. It's really fascinating.
Patrick's right. It's Grand Theft Auto.
It is a Grand Theft Auto.
There were two shorts before that, but this was
very nice.
1977 Grand Theft Auto.
You threw me off, man.
He scares you like that.
He does.
I'm sorry.
He's done it many times.
I didn't mean to frighten you.
Why I have appeared on this show.
I did not mean
to frighten you. I appreciate that.
So may I ask, if Mr. Reynolds himself is older and more frail, how does he get through this movie?
It's a different kind of performance from him, and I don't know if it's just because he's as old as he is, you know, or they took it in a direction where he would be this way. But it's a beautiful performance; it really is.
Well, here's what people forget about Burt Reynolds, because the sex symbol thing is always the thing you think about with Burt Reynolds. He was the number one box office star anywhere for about 3 or 4 years in a row. It's hard to imagine, but Burt Reynolds was the number one guy at the box office.
Playgirl.
Yeah, and then that's what I mean. But that's what people always
Cosmo,
think about.
Actually, not Playgirl. I know you like Playgirl, but it was Cosmopolitan.
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah, they did the first male nude fold-out, and that was Burt.
Burt Reynolds.
I unfolded it right away.
Hello. That was so notorious back then.
Yeah.
My mother recalls being with my sister in the mall. It was 71, 72. And one of her friends came up, have you seen this? And she was like trying to shield my Catholic sister from it.
You don't want to see that. Nope. All right. We'll take a quick break and then more with Patrick McDonald. He's fresh from the Tribeca Film Festival, and he has stories to tell you. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Patrick McDonald is here. He is film critic extraordinaire over at HollywoodChicago.com, chief guide for Chicago Film Tour. You got to see this.
Right.
All the greatest sites that have been used in movies in and around Chicago. ChicagoFilmTour.com has your ticket information. All right, tell us more about Tribeca.
This was only in New York, I guess this could happen, but this was beautiful. I was doing a carpet for Anne H. She's doing a new film called My Friend Dahmer, which is about the high school years of Jeffrey Dahmer, believe it or not. And
Hayes
plays plays Dahmer's mother. They shot it in the same house.
In the actual house?
Creepy.
The actual house. She said she was in the bedroom, because that was the holding area, and realized it was the mother's bedroom. And she said, I looked in the mirror. She said, I don't believe in ghosts or anything. I looked in the mirror, and it was just too creepy for me. She said, I never take selfies or anything like that, but I took a picture of that because it was just so wild.
Is
That's
where
you have a shadowy
film?
Figure over your shoulder.
Is this a scary movie? Is this a comedy? What is
it's a kind of indie drama, I would call it. You know, just it's not exploitative. It really is exploring his, you know, early development just to see where what direction he was going. So anyway, I'm doing this carpet, and right before it, Rosemarie DeWitt from La La Land, who I interviewed during the Chicago International Film Festival with Damien Chazelle.
The director
was on the carpet. Mm-hmm. So I got the picture that I took with her, and I said, hey, Rosemarie, remember? And she came up and hugged me.
Oh.
I thought, oh, that's great. That's a great moment. I'll savor that for a while. So I was in the press lounge the next day, and I'm sitting there just doing the thing, and who walks in but Rosemarie DeWitt.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked for about 20 minutes and took a beautiful picture together. And I'm like, doesn't get any better than this, I think.
Congrats.
Thank you.
That's very, very good news.
Thank you. It was very good.
What did you see at the festival that wowed you that we should all be watching for?
Well,
there's
an independent film. There's a couple things I saw that I really liked. The one is called Flower, which is about a Juno-like teenager. You know how the new trend for teenage movies is to make these teenagers have the experience of like 65-year-old men.
Exactly.
You know, they're all above it, you know. Mm-hmm. So this was very Juno-like, and then it takes a dark turn, man.
Oh.
And it was so cool and so wild. By the end, it was just flip me out.
That's
really?
Flower. Any,
yes.
Any name actors or that we recognize?
Zoe Deutsch, Adam Scott.
Yeah.
Yes.
That we'd recognize?
Yeah. Adam Scott, of course, from
Parks and Recreation.
Oh.
Yeah, he's
good. He's a great.
He's getting a lot of work lately.
Yes, he is.
A lot.
He's doing a lot of character stuff, and he is fantastic
good.
In this movie.
Good.
So,
Flower, and
yes,
what else?
And then I saw the a documentary called Shadow Man, which I really enjoyed. It was it was talking about the era of graffiti in New York when Tribeca was bombed out, and all, you know, the places I was staying
mm-hmm.
were virtually inhabitable, and it was when Basquiat was working and Keith Haring. Mm-hmm. So the third guy is Richard Hambleton. Hambleton is his name. He was always mentioned as the first guy. He was a shadow man guy. He would go to a wall and create shadows, silhouettes. And when these articles were being written in the early days, he was the one being mentioned. Not Basquiat, not Haring, but they became the big three.
Mm-hmm.
And he still lives in the East Village.
Oh,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was very cool. And of course, also explored the art world. And, you know, they always say that modern art is rich people proving how rich they are, you know.
Right.
And recently, a Basquiat went for $40 million. I know.
Not bad.
And
there was a movie about him a bunch of years ago, I remember.
Yes. Yeah. And anyway.
All right. At every film festival, there's always one film that gets such negative press. There's always people walking out on it and booing it and screaming and crying because of it. Not this time around.
Didn't hear anything like that. I heard some good reputations on some films, which I didn't see, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was there. I spend a lot of time here in dark rooms. So when I'm in New York City,
watching movies, Patrick, or something you want to not talk about?
Both.
All right.
And, so, yeah, I saw a dozen films, okay, but
in how many days?
In 6 days.
Oh, that's not bad.
No, but
that's
I could have saw 3-4 a day.
That's too much.
Yeah.
That really is.
Well, your perception and reality start to fade away, you know. I don't know. I don't want to say this out loud because it may be, you know, some of the my fellow
just
film
whisper
critics.
Whisper it to us.
Some of my fellow film critics, that's McDonald. He doesn't like movies, but he likes being a film critic.
But what you just said is impossible. You can't be a film critic if you don't love movies,
I know.
Right?
When I say that, I say the proliferation of 24/7 movie watching.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of guys that do it.
Do you think the audiences at a film festival are more kind of giving in that it's a film festival, so something might be a little bit funny, they make it very, very funny. If something's sad, they make it very sad. Do they play it up a little more because it's a film festival?
I think, you know, you're anticipating a different experience at a film festival. Mm-hmm. You're anticipating that you're going to be wowed somehow. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for example, the Burt Reynolds movie, I was looking forward to it, but I kind of stepped away a bit. And, you know, when you're anticipating something like that, sometimes the flaws will get magnified. Mm-hmm. You know, I think what you have in film festival audience are very knowledgeable film buffs. Mm-hmm. And they're going
pretentious, maybe sometimes a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. Although they're my people.
Oh,
so I'm pretentious.
So, no.
So
oh, all right.
You know,
all right. That's good.
You know, I'm demanding all the
time. Now that you've done one, are you more anxious to go and visit more? There's a bunch of good ones.
As long as I can keep going to Tribeca, I will.
But you've done the Chicago Film Festival. You've covered that, haven't you?
For the last 8 years.
Yeah, so yeah, it's not that different.
It's not that different.
Not in your hometown, though. It's just, it is different. That's what's different.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's challenging yourself outside your comfort zone.
That's it. Got to do that, though.
Which is being on the Bill and Wendy Show.
Yeah, of course. All right. So what in theaters now? What's coming out this weekend that we should know about?
Yes, yes, yes. The only thing I saw for the weekend was an independent film called Jeremiah Tower, The Last Magnificent. Now, this goes on the culture of celebrity chefs. Apparently, Tower was one of the first breakouts. Mm-hmm. He had a famous restaurant in San Francisco that became the talk of the nation before the internet. Mm-hmm. And then he disappeared.
Yeah, because I don't even know the name.
Right, exactly. So, and you know, Batali's on there, Bourdain, they're saying, you know, this is the greatest chef you've never known. Hmm. And they do the film almost like a Citizen Kane, where he's reflecting back. And then they'll show flashbacks and flash forwards and everything. And he took over Tavern on the Green in 2014, came out of retirement, came out of exile to go to one of the most high-profile New York mm-hmm. restaurants, which has been derided by the critics for years because mm-hmm. of its commercial and touristy aspect. You know, oh, let's go to Tavern on the Green. We'll be cool. Mm-hmm. No, you only say that if you're from Duluth or something. You know, you don't.
New Yorkers don't look at it that
no,
way.
No, they don't. And New York critics, food critics, are very quick to deride Tavern on the Green. So he pretty much came in there. You know, he was going to come in with a gauntlet, and it couldn't bring it around. And that's really the elegy for him. And it's fascinating film. I gave it 3.5 out of 5.
It's in limited release.
Limited release, but it's opening here in Chi-Town. And we have The Circle with James Pond-Sold and The Devil's Candy by Sean Byrne. They both weren't screened for critics, but
always a good sign.
Devil's Candy is a horror film for you horror buffs. And
I've seen clips. It looks very scary.
I've eaten The Devil's Candy, haven't you?
Sure. Of course. Of course.
We don't have a lot of time, but I'd like you to give a farewell to great director Jonathan Demme, who passed away. We found out yesterday.
Yeah. The great critic Dave Kerr on Facebook said he was one of the most human, a humanist approach to filmmaking. And mm-hmm. I think if you see any of his great films, like Something Wild, Melvin and Howard, Stop Making Sense, Swimming to Cambodia, Rachel Getting Married. You remember American Playhouse on PBS?
Sure. Yeah.
He did a sensational one with Christopher Walken, and I'm almost positive it would be on YouTube. And it was called Who Am I This Time? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I know that play.
It's an amazing...
They made a movie of it. I'm trying to remember who was in the movie, but it's a great story. And
yes.
Christopher Walken did it on the Playhouse 90.
Did they make a movie of it?
I think so.
I thought the only thing was a Walken, the Walken piece on
Playhouse. Oh, was that it? Yeah.
It may be.
All right.
Is he wrong twice?
I don't know. You know what? He's got to look up his own research.
They do that. A lot of high schools will do that as a play also. It's an easy-to-do play. I mean, if there is such a thing as an easy-to-do play.
Do you know the plot of it?
A little bit. Everything.
It's about a local local community theater.
Yeah.
And they keep getting the same guy to do all the roles because he's fantastic.
Right.
But otherwise, he's socially inept.
Yeah.
He only shines when he's on stage. And can you imagine Walken doing that role? Fantastic.
He'd be perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Patrick, thank you so much.
Blessings.
It's Patrick McDonald, film critic over at HollywoodChicago.com and chief tour guide over at Chicago Film Tour. Go to ChicagoFilmTour.com for all the information and to sign up. We'll find out what's coming up next on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy at WGN.